Ooh, I gotta stretch the podcast muscle. It's been a little
Yeah,
bit.
man. Yeah, you know, we have not been in the gym recently. We have been slacking, skipping leg day. But you know what? Hey, life is a lot. We say this shit all the time,
That's a fact.
especially for my ass this year. Life's been a lot. So if you've been waiting on that nasty, nasty, nasty spit in your mouth podcast pipe, I apologize.
Off the rip.
Yeah. Oh, listen,
You
we ain't
back in
pulling no
rare form.
punches.
You back in rare form already. I thought it was going to take you a couple minutes to get right, but you right back with nothing left.
Foreplay? Ah! Nah, bro. We back at it, giving the people what they want. Listen, they not showing up to our house at 10 o'clock at night. I'm sorry, 2 o'clock in the morning with the trench coat on for us to give them podcast foreplay. Okay?
That's
No,
fact.
ma'am. No, ma'am.
Damn, I was trying to light these candles. I was trying to ask the listeners how their day was going.
Nah, none of that, buddy boy. We are here again. I will take sole responsibility for this latest absence. Again, a lot going on. I ain't even gotta fully getting everything. Life's been crazy, but we getting back right.
Also, again, this podcast is free, so you don't have to apologize to them for anything.
good point. But you know, unfortunately, you know, trauma bonding is a real thing. So while we are definitely coming to slang that that audio eroticism, I will say, the podcast pipe, unfortunately, you know, we may not be doing it from a very genuine, a very happy place, 'cause the one and only, the GOAT, just went down, you know, in our last match. I'm a little emotional right now. I ain't gonna hold you.
Nah, for real. Like it was a big deal, man. It's rare that you can see the greatest person to ever do something and watch them kind of go out on their own terms, in a way. So like it's we didn't get, we did, we really we were young, but we kind of didn't really get to see Mike go out. We weren't fully, you know what I'm saying, aware of that. Bonds is kind of weird. He's my goat of baseball, but that's kind of
Yeah,
a weird
it should
situation.
be, but you know, you're not that good.
Yeah. And so this Serena's undoubtedly the greatest women's tennis player of all time, undoubtedly the greatest tennis player of all time, and one of the greatest
Yeah.
athletes to ever pick up a
I
sport,
think
man.
she's the most influential female athlete of all time, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, I don't even.
Again, maybe the most influential athlete that we've seen, you know, just she has broken down barriers and created spaces that literally did not exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, yes, Venus came before her and Venus, you know, set the standard for success. We ain't never gonna, you know, erase everything that she's contributed, but
Facts.
Serena just did it at a different level, man. Just the notoriety, the popularity, the money, the fashion, on court fashion,
Okay,
you
so you
know,
still got me going crazy.
still, again, I remember my grandmother always used to say, you know, that was Serena was the first girl I ever fell in love with, and she's right, she's correct, you know, so it's sad to see her go, but again, I really wanted her to get one more, but honestly. What more? Same with Tiger. You know what I'm saying? He's, you know, coming to the end of his playing days. What more could you ask for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you said, she's super duper influential. You know what I'm saying? And even just if you kind of stick it to tennis, her accomplishments are fucking nuts.
Insane.
23 Grand Slam titles, second most all time, most or more than any man has. Her career record was nuts. Like I looked it up earlier, it was like 800 something and like 150 something.
Yeah, man.
So she's been
And
smoking these bitches
how many of those
consistently.
losses have come in the last 3, 4 years? You know what I'm saying? Probably 50 of them. You feel me? So it's you know, again, I think we've mentioned it on the pod before, but she was definitely you know, someone that benefited and championed sports science and recovery. And again, like these are things that did not exist to the generation before. Remember, tennis players used to be washed at like 28. You were done. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I think Steffi Graf, the thing that says she retired like 30 or something.
That's what I'm saying, bruh. So, you know, her, again, her and the LeBrons and the Tigers and the Kobes and everybody like that, not only did we get to see them achieve such greatness, but we got to see them do it for such a longer period of time too, which is, you know, a blessing in and of itself. So,
she was a pro when we were literally in what, first, second grade.
Yeah.
Now we old and washed as fuck.
Man. So, you know, happy for her to move into the next stage of her life with her white man. You know,
Not tonight.
All right. But again, you know, so long farewell, to one of the best we've ever done. And we've also been really fortunate to watch a lot of GOATs in their primes. You know what I'm saying? Like, go through their, basically their entire careers. You know, we've seen LeBron, nice. We've seen Tiger, we've seen, yes, LeBron, not Jordan. Y'all heard me. Bron, Tiger, you know, Serena's, again, Barry Bonds, another one. Tom Brady, you feel me? Like, pretty much, I don't want to say all the GOATs of the major sports, but with the exception of like a fucking Wayne Gretzky, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we've had the opportunity to view everybody else. So it's being a sports fan is both madness and rewarding. When it is rewarding, it is the most like amazing fucking feeling ever. Now that feeling doesn't happen often enough, but when it does happen, it's very, very special. Being able to see this, to see the reaction when she was down 5-1 to every damn point. Seeing again the crowd looking like Studio 54.
Man, I have never seen any tennis situation looking like that.
Never.
And that speaks to the power and presence that Serena draws, man. And she had niggas in there every day pulling up. I seen Jalen Green is in the Arthur Ashe Stadium with a do-rag on. I said, what?
Man, it's Iron Mike off the shroomies. Woo, that boy was in Debo Pigeon Coop sweating like a slave.
Talk about gold.
But, you know, so again, much obviously the highest amount of love and praise to Serena Williams and the entire generation that she's inspired, you know, to Coco Gauff, to, you know, Naomi Osaka, who's been struggling, you know, quite a bit, but, you know, she gonna get back right, to Sloan Stevens and all of them. We're gonna be right behind you. So,
man, this ain't, she in the typical tennis shape of a woman wasn't her when she started, and she was a bigger girl and thick as hell, showing she could dominate these little girls. To quote a famous Twitter user, Victor Moen, he said, I know that thing tightened up like a blood pressure monitor. And I have to concur.
You bring up a good point because, you know, you see people create Twitter narratives all the time. What was the thing that got, did you share in the group chat today when somebody was talking about how, like, people make up shit all the time, talking about, oh, but y'all said Steph Curry couldn't shoot.
Oh yeah, the people. I forget what I sent earlier, but this is the people kind of creating their own straw men.
Yes. And I will say, obviously, you know, we talk about all the time on this pod. We talk about the colorism. We talk about the devaluing, the dehumanizing of, you know, non light skinned dainty women. We talk about Meg all the time. And Serena definitely falls into that category for sure, as having, you know, to have endured a lot of just heinous, you know, disrespect and disrespect, dehumanization, and everything on that scale, you know. But one thing that I will definitely say, though, that I kind of think is a false Twitter narrative. I ain't never seen black men like calling Serena like gorillas and monkeys and shit like that. As far as I can remember, niggas always love Serena. Am I wrong? Is that, did I make that up?
I would say I personally kind of haven't really seen it either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's not come really out of nowhere. I imagine some people kind of said it, and she got a lot of flack from the tennis community too, from commentators and people like that. But
yeah,
I don't know. Niggas is always pretty much rock with Serena for the most part.
That's what I thought, and maybe that had more to do with the fact that she came around, you know, before, way before social media, when a lot of us now, you know, we're kids and kind of grew up with her and shit. But I ain't never seen no black man talk about her the way black men talk about Megan Thee Stallion. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's, yeah, I feel like it's two completely different areas. And maybe it's a, you know, one of those antiquated arguments about respectability and all that other bullshit. But either way, outside of that, the GOAT, again, unquestionably. And I'm gonna miss seeing her out there. I'm gonna miss seeing her and her Wimbledon whites, you know, kicking hoes asses.
For sure, so, man. It's sad to see her go. But again, we're glad we got to grow up with Serena and watch her accomplish everything she accomplished and change the game of tennis and change the world in a sense. So salute amen. To her, man.
Amen. And speaking of GOATs, welcome to the Beware the L's podcast. I am your boy, Uptown Ace Boogie. Find me on the socials at Uptown Ace Boogie. Currently going by Dracarys Noir on Twitter. Shout out to me. I ain't gotta hype myself up. I'm gonna just say shout out to me. Cause I deserve it. My compadre on the other side of the internet, Ain't that Wiz.
Find me everywhere on that, you know what I'm saying? I just be chilling, dog. that's all I am. That's all I do.
Well, listen, that's chilling is a national pastime at this point. And whenever you get time to chill, do that shit. You ain't about to force me, you know, just be out here in these streets like a delinquent. Unless I'm in Vegas. Because if that's the case, I'm going nuts. Personally, I turned Vegas on his motherfucking head. Anderson Pack is now my close personal friend. We was, I had to dap that nigga up and everything. So y'all can't tell me shit. To quote JR, I bitch, I look like sex. All right. So, that's my energy. That's the energy that I've been carrying for the last month. You can ask Wes. I've been annoying as fuck, but you know what? That's cool though. Cause I'm living, cause I'm here.
I've been putting up with it, but I appreciate it. You deserve a future. You deserve it.
I appreciate you, bro. It's been, like I said, it's been a lot going on this year, but it's, man, listen, every day, every moment, every opportunity, every trip, every podcast is a true, true, true blessing. Cause honestly, you never know. Every time that I get to come here, I get to do this. I get to talk shit with one of my best friends. That's a good fucking day for me. So we're going to keep the good days rolling. Even after, you know, I move up out of the Cleveland area, coming real soon. You know, Beware the L's live from TIAA Stadium, Bank of America Stadium.
I think it's Bank of America.
Yeah. One of them hoes. You know what I'm saying? Live from one of them black ass HBCU championship
live,
tournaments.
Live from South Carolina State.
Yeah, yes, sir. Coming real soon. Well, keep your eyes peeled. Hey, your ass need to be making that play too, nigga. All right.
I got some things in the works.
All right, my man. Again, happy to be here. Again, follow us individual socials, Uptown Ace Boogie at Ain't That Wiz. Follow all the show pages at Beware the Ills on Twitter and on Instagram. Drop us a like, a rate, a share, a subscribe, retweet, tell a friend. Go ahead, engage with us. Tell us what the fuck you want to hear. We may or may not listen, but we appreciate the feedback. Like I said, drop some rates. Make sure them hoes is 5 stars. I ain't gonna keep telling y'all that neither. And go ahead, get into it with us. We've been doing this for a minute now. I just realized we've been doing this for quite a long time, and we're not gonna stop neither. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we gonna continue to talk our shit to y'all. Point blank, period. It's fun.
I ain't gonna stop. I said I'm ain't. Mm. I said I'm ain't. Speaking of, I'm ain't gonna stop. Let's get ready. Let's get ready. Jay-Z, the one, the only. You want to talk about GOAT talk? One and only, God MC, me, Jehovah.
His name was Beyonce's husband.
I think he got it back.
Finally, the best. Yeah, now we can call him Jay-Z for real.
That man did something special on God Did. You know, it's a DJ Khaled album season, which means you are going to get a lot of tracks that are going to intrigue or appeal to you when you see the track list. And then after you hear them, you all right.
You're going to see some names. You're going to see some names and say, wait a minute. This one does go with this one. And that guy kind of got a little fit with that guy.
Yeah.
And then you'll play the album once or twice and then never revisit it again.
Yes, correct. Definitely a little disappointed in Unc and Nephew on Party All the Time. They slid, but it just wasn't. It didn't have the vibe, bro. It didn't have the vibe. Mm-mm. Party All the Time is unreplicable.
Did you pop a Roxy before you listened to it?
I did not.
If not, then I would strongly suggest you revisit it.
All right, I'm disqualified from speaking. I'm so sorry.
Can't believe you said that about taking Quay.
However, the song that is getting
real quick,
all the
I would
hype,
like to say this is a little bit better than your typical DJ Khaled album. I've ran this back a few times.
Yes, it is. I'll probably say it's his best one since Major Key. I don't think anything will ever be better than Major Key. I think that was kind of his magnum opus, if he can have one. So
when you press the Movado button, it usually comes up good.
Yeah, so I give him credit because, you know, whenever DJ Khaled does not end up with the number one album, he cries. So I'm glad we ain't got to hear that.
Well, I saw something about him and Bad Bunny going back and forth on the charts. So I don't know if he fully...
I think he got it.
He officially got it? Okay.
Also, Bad Bunny has sold like 100,000 for like 17 straight weeks. That man is a juggernaut.
That boy is music, man.
I
messed up. He'll be here this weekend for Made in America. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to cop tickets. So I'll have to delay my cuffing of a Spanish mommy for the fall until or maybe early winter. Maybe Anuel or Romeo Santos will come through and we can run this playback.
Yes, sir. But again, the song that is making all the noise, making all the waves, and rightfully so, is the track God Did, DJ Khaled featuring Lil Wayne, Rick Ross.
Dreadlocks, Jay-Z. Fakes, tats, I'm the Apex.
Now, Hov, Ross, and Wayne have had a lot of collaborations between them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Ross and Hov, obviously they got their history, the Maybach Music, The Devil Is a Lies, the Hustlin' Remix. I'm forgetting something.
Fuck with me, you know I got it.
Fuck Me, You Know I Got It. Freemason. Hella.
They have a lot of music together.
Yeah, they do. And obviously Ross and Wayne got a million of them too. God, John is special.
John is the one. Man,
that's still the one. And then you still got shit like the 9-piece remix, and if you want to take it back, and hella shit going forward. Marble Floors, and you know what I'm saying? We can do this all day. Pop Dats, all that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever had a song with all three of them on there before. So, just from the track list, we saw, definitely some excitement because Wayne has not been producing the same dirty brown water trash that he's been putting out for the last decade or so. Wayne's features since the pandemic have been pretty on point. Ross is always consistent, and obviously anytime Hov is on a track, it's a holiday. But it got really intriguing when you look at the track list and saw that the song was 8.5 minutes. So in my mind, I couldn't conceptualize what an 8.5 minute song with only three verses on there would sound like until we got it.
And even before that, running to the rollout of the album, Khaled was, I've seen a couple of interviews talking like, yo, this is one of the greatest Jay-Z verses that's ever been done. Mm. And I saw that interview. I don't know, I forget who he said it with. But he said it a couple times, a couple different places, and I'm like, wait a minute, he's lying, obviously. But this is something that you're not going to just say to say. I mean, I get trying to sell an album.
Correct.
But when you're talking about a nigga of this type of echelon, the GOAT, saying it's one of his greatest verses, and it's not, you're going to like a dickhead. That might fuck your whole release up.
Big facts.
So for him to put that kind of stamp on it early, had the expectations super duper high, at least for me.
But the boy, he came crazy. He backed it up fully. And
the old man.
Yes. I experienced so many different emotions going through that verse. But we've said it time and time again. You know, there are a lot of elite braggadocio rappers. There are a lot. Drake, top tier. Rick Ross, top tier. Just a lot of guys who, when they talk they shit, they talk they shit better than anybody. However, nobody talks shit like Hov. Nobody. Nobody in the history of music. I don't know. George Harrison used to be talking that good shit. But
if we're going to just please completely erase Daryl and John, or Daryl Hall and John Oates, we're going to do that.
That's real shit. But and Hov, when he's in that mode, bruh, when he's telling insider stories,
it breaks my heart. It breaks your heart, Hov?
Oh, man. Crazy. Listen. When he telling insider stories and talking about Emery and Tata and all that shit.
Anytime Emery comes up, you know this is one of the ones.
It's over with, bro. And that verse, man, 5+ minutes of that nigga just talking his shit. And the thing is, somebody said on Twitter, you know, like, Hov doesn't really have to make albums no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. As long as he gets, like, a feature or two every year where you just give him his space, his latitude to just talk his shit, that's all you really need at this stage in his career. And that's honestly, the God honest truth.
We let y'all do the Zaza. It's OG for the OGs.
OG for the OGs, man. I just so many bars. I ain't never seen Guru dick eating the way that he was dick eating explaining that verse. But rightfully so.
So you ain't got to do all this, Guru. We can read, man. Jay-Z's not that over the head no more. Nigga, he explaining everything.
Boy, so
is,
I mean,
I got the lyrics up in front of me, man. This is incredible, man. I love it, man. I love it.
So Ron's
four technically. I'm just gonna keep dropping random bars. So,
I mean, hey, look, niggas ain't forgot about the XXL cover. I don't appreciate the erasure of Foxy Brown. I saw somebody Photoshop Foxy off of it and put Rihanna on there. I ain't like that, but
I understand.
Do not. But. It's and I know. Listen, I know that we can go to jail for this, okay? However, I'm not gonna shut up about this fucking verse. It is not the funny thing is, you know, you see a lot of people, especially younger people, saying, "Oh, this is one of Hov's greatest verses," or "This is Hov's greatest feature." This is not a top 5 feature. It's probably not a top 10 feature, to be honest. But well, again, coming from a nigga who just took home the Versus championship belt, had to hold it down, 13-12 final. Oh, it came down to it.
Oh,
but
wow.
So Hov did, Boog did.
Sunshine won.
No,
I'm like it hot.
Listen, man, it was actually I think JR got fucked up and he fucked up late. But again, I came to play, so I brought that bitch home. But I'm proud of myself, man. I'm going to keep bigging myself up throughout this whole
anytime
goddamn podcast.
Anytime you can play Jay-Z Blue for the winner.
Woo! Listen, it was very close to being Dear Summer, all right? But
that's in Memphis. Yeah. Let's be technical here.
I love me some Bleak. I put in a good amount of Beanie Siegel. Keep going, Beans. You feel me? Like
that today. I said you missed me the right moment. I'll tell you, Beanie Siegel's the greatest. I hope all respect the Hov. But if I'm in my mind space, Beanie Siegel's greatest nigga ever.
Oh man. But again, it was and after you sat down and thought about it, it was like, now Khaled. I understand that you want to build up the most hype that you possibly can by building the best track list that you possibly can. But why you do that? Why you set Wayne and Ross up like that?
Yeah, this is very similar to, speaking of Ross, what was it? On Scary Hours 2, the Lemon Pepper freestyle, when Drake went crazy. Mm-hmm. And they had Ross set it off.
Yep.
Kind of as a nice little prelude of foreplay, which we don't do here. Mm-mm. Is aperitif? That's the appetizer. That's some fancy word. But,
got me, nigga.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a situation where it's like, yo, I understand the need for the collaboration of everybody here, and it sounds good on paper, but when Hov sends you this verse, you can just kind of just run this bitch. Throw the Wayne and Ross verses on something else, or save them bitches for later, and just let Hov go crazy on this one.
Period. And it you know, to have, again, someone who has been in the game as long as he has to still be able to set the world on fire. You know, we talk about the longevity of GOATs. You know, being a GOAT, man, is not necessarily about doing a lot of shit in a short amount of time. I mean, that helps, but it's the longevity, the ability to do it over decade after decade after decade after decade. And personally, again, I know, you know, younger folks, people in their, you know, late teens, early 20s, who he is just Beyonce's husband to them. You know what I'm saying?
They don't get it. It's fine, but they don't get it. Yeah.
You know, so it's, and you can't even blame them for not knowing. Oh, well, you can blame their upbringings, but you can't blame them for, you know, thinking young boy is the GOAT. You also think young boy is the GOAT. TBH.
No, he's number three.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
All time.
So, you know, so even to see them, to see these younger kids, people like my nephew's age, you know, getting into the CNN talk about how Hov is, you know, still that nigga. That shit warms my heart because, you know, unfortunately, we don't have as many generational things like culture-wise in entertainment and music as we should. Again, black people are the only race, the only culture in which we call niggas our legends washed. You know what I'm like? That's it's terrible. But listen, they will never, you ain't never gonna see a white person calling Bruce Springsteen washed. Ever. Calling Metallica washed.
That nigga still putting out hits, nigga. I don't know if you listen to
Steven Tyler. You know what I'm saying? So I do feel like that's something that we gotta get better about. All praise to Young Jock and Jaquan. But
the narrative started to get changed years ago when Tom Joyner created his cruises. And when we do these We Were the L's cruises, we will continue to change the narrative of our old watch artists.
Listen, Milaj, we know y'all listening.
I'm telling you. When I get on the phone with Smiles and Style Stars manager,
man, listen,
and get them niggas to pull up, oh my God. I got this all planned out and everything, man.
Milaj, Smiles, and South Star, Two Pistols.
She does have it. That's a fact.
Hey, listen, you know we're going to bring y'all something special.
Let me cue that song for after this podcast. That's a motherfucking banger.
Again, shout out to Hov, man. Again, continuing to do it at an extremely high level. And earning his name back. It took a while. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of Hovin gigs.
Almost forgot about that. Seeing the American GOAT bigging up the British GOAT. That made me feel very happy.
Gigs
made me smile on the inside. Yes.
It's Giggs.
I never heard Skepta say nothing about whipping that white girl. Whipping that sassy.
Listen. We're not talking about the greatest verse of all time. We're not going to bring it up.
And then Batman. Da-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na.
Looking on gift wrap. Looking on. Oh, my God. Nah. That's the real lyric breakdown we're going to do on this show one day. This
verse of all time. Shout out to Hov. Again, continuing to make waves and set the industry on its head. Even when, you know, he's not... He could easily be, again, off in retirement, in Saint-Tropez, you know, wearing chancletas with his feet out.
Watching this play at Mandalay.
But he's still giving us that quality, that A1 content, and still changing the game. Speaking of changing the game, them baby Cavs, my boy. Them baby fucking Cavs. We're here, Negro. We are here. You know what? I, you know how I feel. So I'm going to let you go. You clear Donovan Mitchell hater. How did you feel about the blockbuster trade sending the sex man, Lori, I love Markkanen, and a total of 3 first round picks and 2 pick swaps for Donovan Spider Mitchell.
Oh, I don't hate Donovan Mitchell. I just like good basketball players. So from the outside looking in as a Lakers fan, I think it's a good trade. It's a lot because Donovan Mitchell is kind of like, for me, he is what he is. Mm-hmm. The only thing I really think he got to get more is maybe a little more efficient, but he is the player that he's going to be at this point. So it's a lot to kind of give up for that. But you guys had the assets to kind of make that trade, and you push your chips in and kind of push your timeline up just a little bit.
Pushed our big chips in.
Yes, you Kelsed it. As I hope the hope that sticks and you guys get in trouble and then locked up. But yeah, so you guys kind of said, hey, we were better than we expected to be last year. We had a chance to bring in a borderline All NBA talent to mesh with our three budding stars.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it, why not?
Yeah, man. You know, again, it kind of set Twitter ablaze. One of the biggest, an Oppenheimer level Woj bomb yesterday on social media. I can't wait for that shit. God damn.
Yeah, no, that's
gonna time. That's gonna be the one, Jack. But yeah, it was you know, again, a lot of emotions. You know, the first thing you feel is the fuck. Then the second thing is, all right, what do we give up? Then it's like, nah, I fuck with it. Then it's like, oh damn, but I ain't want to get this nigga up. Then it's like, nah, you know what? We real niggas. And that's kind of what I settled on, because we did give up a lot. I really wish we could have thrown in Okoro instead of the rookie, personally. I would have threw in another pick to make the Okoro shit match up, honestly. However, you know, so again, you could say we're leveraging our future, but we weren't going to do shit with those picks anyway. Again, you can only develop so much talent at one time. You know, we're going to be planning on contending. So what is a 21st overall pick going to do for the next 3 years? So I was okay with the picks. Young Bull, Colin Sexton, love you to death, but the writing's been on the wall, you know, for him in Cleveland for a long time. So, unfortunately, wasn't surprised by that. Lauri Markkanen, good player. Can't move his feet worth a goddamn, though. So, you know, he was a liability down the stretch. I was cool with that. But despite how much we gave up, it was a championship move. You know what I'm saying? Like, teams don't – the NBA does not win – you don't win championships off homegrown talent unless you're Golden State. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we've always – Cleveland in general – before we went out and got the nasty man. Cleveland has always been, our sports teams have always been afraid to pull the trigger. We've always been afraid to, you know, make the Amari Stoudemire trade in 2010. We've always been afraid to go out and give up some shit, because we didn't want to give a fucking J.J. Hickson.
The state's finest.
We've always been... you know, the team, the city that's like, oh no, we want to keep all our pieces. We want to keep our development players, and those development players turn into pretty good guys, but not guys that are going to win you anything. This was a championship move. And whether we end up winning one or not, that's the type of shit that you have to do in the NBA, the splashes that you have to make to jump over teams. Honestly, I think we jumped over Miami, keep it a band with this move. You know, Boston's still gonna be Boston.
I can see that. Again, I said you guys have locked in the fifth seed. I'm very proud of you.
You know, Boston's still gonna be Boston. Philly's still gonna be Philly. They're gonna be around. Don't know what you're gonna get out of Brooklyn. Chicago will still be there, but I think we better than them too. So, you know, I want to say it's a good time around here, but we still got Jacoby Brissett leading us in the game one against Baker Mayfield next week. So, you know, things are going well. I'll put it that way. It could be better, but things are going well. It's a lot of excitement in these parts. You know, my son might lose a tad bit of production, just a little bit, but I still got his picture on the refrigerator. So.
Whose?
Huh? My son. My child.
Lamar Stevens?
It's the one, Darius Garland. But
I was getting ready to slander him, but I think he's Clutch Mafia, so we good money over here.
Oh, okay. So it's we definitely excited around here. We're excited to see what the Cavs can do. This is, I would say last year the switch like finally happened, but I don't think anybody was ready to announce it. Now, officially, for the first time in like 20 years, the East is better than the West. Do that.
Yeah,
don't do that.
I mean, I guess if y'all want to hold the regular season flag up for some reason, all right. y'all got it.
Oh, that NHL, that President's Trophy, yes sir, yeah. We'll take it. They really give out a trophy for being the best regular season team. That's crazy.
Hey, man, if he was whooping niggas ass regular season, like, it means a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose so.
But, I mean, it is what it is. That's why hockey's different, you know what I'm saying? Conn Smythe.
Yeah, shout out to Conn Smythe. Probably racist as fuck. Absolutely. I'm sure he used to go to dinner with Ty Cobb every week.
linking up. White hand, handshake.
The Cavs was able to breathe a little bit of fire into the middle to top of the Eastern Conference. And speaking of motherfucking fire bringing, it's that time, nigga. We bike. Dragons is bike. Yes.
Yeah, man. We are back after what was it, 3 years? What
was it? Yeah, I thought it was four. It was only three.
I think it was 19, yeah. When they left us with such a bad taste in our mouth.
Oh, Jesus. I'm talking left us with Pepto-Bismol.
You was content with that, guy. I went back and listened to some of the
games. I listened to it, too. No. I was content with the last episode. I was not content with the whole season.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
They try to sneak one past you.
I just seen today, somebody said, I still don't know how Tyrion fucking lived through that shit.
I don't know how any of them niggas live.
That nigga should have got barbecued on the fucking spot.
John should have died. Tyrion should have died. Grey Worm should have been king. All that shit. Man. It was nasty. They weren't ready for their 08 moment yet. Or their Obama.
But as hating ass Sansa said, you can't be king with no dick.
They got no dick. Mm. What you mean? Like they just gonna do all this in 50 years? I don't know if Bran's gonna die because let me look left. Let me look right. Bran is a three-eyed raven. If you didn't.
Nigga, what?
If you didn't.
Nigga,
know.
What? You hold it down like we supposed to?
Shit, I should have said spoiler alert before I revealed that.
Newsflash, breaking news. Here's our Woj bomb here on Beware the Ills. Brandon Stark, the former Brandon Stark, is actually the three-eyed raven.
Man, from watching incest to becoming king in the Three-Eyed Raven, man. What a better story than that.
What a time, man.
Yeah, I'm mad again. I'm mad all over again.
Yes. So we'll ignore that part. But House of Dragon came out the gate spitting, literally. And in one episode, I got to give him a lot of credit. Shout out to Miguel Sapotnik, who already out that bitch. He's like, I'm done.
God, boss.
Yeah. They completely wiped the bad taste of season 8 out of my mouth in one episode.
For sure. No, I definitely was I was pretty much going to be in regardless, but after the first episode, I was like, yeah, nah, this is, I'm legitimately
locked in
a live tweet. Like, I'm in this motherfucker for real.
Air for a day, my nigga. Air for a day.
That's a bar. Speaking of people who shouldn't have died, that's why I can't be king. Like, I'm rewatching Breaking Bad, too. Mm-hmm. And, if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, it's Jesse. Jesse is one of the characters. He fucks up all the time. If I was I would kill Jesse so long ago. And that reminds me. So if I was king here and my brother says my son who died hours after being born is there for a day, you got to go. Family or not.
Yeah.
Can't be dropping bombs off on me like that. That's just stressful.
And also, it was just like, you know, it really brought up, you know, that feudalism pettiness. Because it's just like, he asked him, why would you say some shit that's that hurtful? Cuz you got me on the city watch. Okay? The fuck? So I got you on the city watch, so you get to make fun of my dead son while you struggle to keep it up for a prostitute?
The disrespect is crazy, man. It's
she's bad, though.
Things ain't facts. not the Thrones, but Thrones got the baddies on the low for real.
Always.
Yeah, man. So this is a new series. You're the kind of expert on kind of timelines of things that was going on. So
Dragon Teens.
Bring it down for us.
All right. So this takes place roughly 170 years before the rise of Emilia Clarke. This is kind of the beginning of the end of the Targaryen dynasty. So this is about 100 years after Aegon's conquest, which, again, complete propaganda, people. That was not they made it seem like he united the seven kingdoms like he was goddamn Jesus. That nigga basically ran up in every stronghold. Nigga ran up in the Vale, you know what I'm saying? Ran up in the Riverlands, ran up in all that shit and like, hey, run this shit or I will burn you to the fucking ground. Because dragons are nuclear weapons in Westeros.
I mean, so if you got them,
you might so he, know. Quote unquote, united the Seven Kingdoms like some Manifest Destiny shit. And the Targaryens was lit. They was running shit, especially the king right before the king on House of Dragons. It was peaceful and prosperous times. But as you know, shit always start getting funny. You know what I'm saying? And this was kind of the beginning of the end. They kind of talked about how King's Landing has started to go downhill. And like, you can kind of tell where the kingdom is based off of how nice the capital is, basically. King's Landing was not quite the shithole that it would become in Game of Thrones years. But
I ain't see no flea bottom.
Correct. Just like what?
Damn, did Fleabottom reverse gentrify King's Landing?
Pretty much. So this was a beginning of a kind of divisive time. This was when we started getting the first real challenges to the Targaryen dynasty. They still had dragons, but not as many. I think they said they had 10 total.
Something like that.
Really well including Daemons with the mad long neck. So this one shit started getting weird, and it starts getting weird when you don't have a clear line of succession. So the previous king, his sons died, so he went ahead and named fuck ass Viserion the First. And if we don't know anything, it's that Viserys. We know that Viserys suck, clearly.
Wasn't that that's the Mad King's name too, right?
No, yes, and that's also his son's name. That's Daenerys' brother's name. Oh,
yeah, his fuck ass.
So, So even though the current king, Viserys I, that, you know, he's a quote-unquote compassionate guy, you see how far compassion gets you.
He seems like a nice guy. All told, he seems like a nice guy. He just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
No, not at all.
If you're going to be a king on Thrones, you have to either be fucking nuts or not know what the fuck you're doing.
Period. The thing that I really like about this is they wanted to, again, undo some of the wrongs of Game of Thrones Season 8. And one of the big things of that season was it was like there was only 6 episodes, which weren't long as they should have been. And on top of that, half them episodes was exposition. Them niggas just talking, catching up, swapping stories and shit. We don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, the Battle of Winterfell could have been a whole goddamn season on its own. So they jump straight into the action. They, instead of trying to set the stage too much or explain what's going on, they had a little bit of that. But obviously, anybody watching this, I don't know if it was... It ain't nobody watching House of Dragons and ain't watched Game of Thrones. So they went in. You already have the knowledge of Westeros. You already know about the Iron Throne. You know pretty much about the families, the houses, the cities, all that shit. Man, so we're going to get all that shit out the way and jump straight into fucking plot and character development.
And I'll be hype as hell when I hear a name I know. I said, something about Dondarrion. I said, Dondarrion. The whole Leo meme where he's pointing to TV. Yeah, man.
Bear Gon Dumbass.
Baratheon. I know that nigga. I know your grandson.
Yeah, man. What they say? It was like, oh no, I don't fuck with that. Oh, we should have Baratheon's head for that shit. Yeah. A nigga was wilding already. A little bit of foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it, bro. Like, I know they doing hella spinoffs. The one spinoff that I wanted to see was about fucking Robert's. What was it called? Robert's Rebellion.
Robert's Rebellion or something. Yeah. Yeah, some shit like that. When he
the Usurper.
Mm-hmm.
So they got straight into it, established all the characters out the gate, fucking with Rhaenyra is hard. Honestly,
I'm a big fan.
It's only been 2 episodes, so I can't say, oh, she rawer than Daenerys, but I like her framework more. You know what I'm saying?
She's definitely on the trajectory.
Yeah.
To be that bitch of both shows.
Correct. She out here, she's horny. She be trying to fuck knights and shit, and I'm sure she was fucking her friend too. We'll get to that later on.
I seen him in the little forest in the, what was it, where Bran was at.
Yeah, yes, sir. They was all cuffed up. having a good old time. And shit. That's cool. might be trying to fuck on her uncle too in true Game of Thrones fashion. So, it's a lot going on. But I will say without a doubt, there are only two people that I support without question and throw my my unbridled loyalty to.
Are we picking teams already?
Yes.
Hell yeah, we in there. Okay, go ahead. Who you fucking?
All right, so I am Team Damon. Or I'll say Team Philip.
Yes, and then please call him Philip.
He is a wild boy, but what is Game of Thrones without a wild boy? You gotta have at least two at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, just out of, you know, respect to the skin folk, I'm also Team Corliss as well, even though he's doing a little too much. Oh, I'm still boy. Team I'm Team Corliss. Well, I'm supposed to be Team Steve Hightower. Nah, bro.
Listen. All your skin folk ain't your kinfolk.
Ain't your kinfolk.
So yeah, black Mekhi Phifer. Wow.
Yeah. Them wigs is bad, bro. God damn.
Atrocious.
But it is nice. I mean, we haven't seen hardly any black people on Game of Thrones. So to see a black family of wealth and means, that's top tier, bro.
Off top, I think we saw four black people in all of Thrones.
Yes.
Grey Worm, Missandei, Black Pirate.
Pirate Man.
And the Finesser from Karth.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Oh, that nigga. Yeah. Yeah. So,
to see a nigga who's the head of a house, a royal house. Again, real quickly, I want to speak to it. I said it in the group chat, but I'd say it here, too. George R. R. Martin and crew want us to believe in dragons and wizards and this whole imaginary world. But interracial marriage back before the birth of Jesus Christ, I don't know, my nigga. I don't know about all that.
Yeah, we're trying to set out his light-skinned babies. That's shit, man.
Yeah,
but the thing is, it's like, all right, you want to be mad, but that's literally the time period. That's exactly how it was. Like
that's exactly as probably a lot worse than that, for real, for real.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, it was still rough to see. But
That first scene of them walking through the garden, bro, and I'm thinking this girl about to be like 15, 16. She's like 8.
Yeah, it's wild.
Freedom babies, man.
For real.
Shit, I see what them QAnon folk be talking about. Shit.
Shit. Dragon Gate. let's see. If I had to pledge a team right now, I'm really just fucking with Rhaenyra.
Yeah,
because the king sucks. Alicent, her little fast ass, but she didn't really want to do that. But she also didn't say no.
Not at first, but she got used to the idea.
Yeah, since she kind of grew into a pause. Her pop sucks. Black guy is a little iffy. Damon's a wild nigga. That air for a day, she really just rubbed me wrong, so I can't fool him.
Yeah, man.
Philippe. Well, that's really all the kind of main characters we have so far. Big fan of Cyrax the dragon. That's a fire ass name.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's just Rhaenyra. Everybody else is they have to earn. Sir Christian Cole.
Cole's boy. Yep.
Grandpa Cole. he's gonna be my dog until he fucks on Rhaenyra, and then I'm like look at him a little sideways.
Yeah, he a real one.
Yeah, that's really about it. Super duper early. We're two hours into what's gonna be a 70-some hour show.
Again, and it's Thrones again with all this background time. You know how many fucking characters they introduced in the first two episodes of Thrones? Everybody. All the Lannisters, all the Starks, all the Baratheons, all, you know what I'm saying? Friend Zone Boy. Yes, Sir Ilan Payne, Friend Zone Boy, Kyle, Papercut Drogo, all of them.
Friend Zone Boy. Oh, Jorah?
Sir Jorah. Damn. Yes. Yep.
Damn, shout out to
the last of House Mormont. My buddy. I will also say again, it was nice for them to really only focus on, again, it shows about the Targaryens. So you got the Targaryens, the Valyrians, and that's really the major players, and I guess the Hightower, but Yeah, so we kind of
Royal House or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. So we really get to get, you know, acquainted with these characters until the big time switch or time jump is coming in like two episodes.
Are you saying there's going to be a time loop?
Time loop. I'm still waiting on Sherman to make his cameo appearance.
Of course, him and shit. What's my man's name? What was Vic Mensa's character's name?
I can't remember his name.
Shit. But my sister sent me a video that we was talking about Thrones. She sent me a video kind of like what the what this is like series is all gonna be about, because she like read the books, whatever, like you did. Mm-hmm. I said I kind of want to be out the loop, kind of want to see everything like unfold naturally. Yeah. But also I'm nosy, so I kind of want to see like what happens. It's how it can connect to Thrones and everything. So I might do some research on that too.
Yeah, it's I've read like maybe an eighth of the book, and I was like, this shit boring as hell. So I know the general framework, but like I don't really know like a ton of major important events outside of them fucking later on. So that I presume will be in, but you know, we got to see how the wild boy George R. R. Martin wanted to play out.
I don't know how Elizabeth's going to take this when she sees Philip
walking out again. Shout out to the crown. We back soon, very soon. With McNutty as Prince Philip.
That's who he's playing,
or not Philip Charles? I'm sorry.
I was great. So curious. McNulty, drunk ass. Yeah. I usually don't listen to you with anything you say. I take your advice and do the exact opposite. But
yes,
you are an agent of the crown. You've been on crown payroll for some years.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad I actually took a look. Crown is fucking fire, man.
Big banger. So House is actually called House of the Dragon, but once again, black people will decide to call it whatever the fuck we want to call it. Mm-hmm. House of the Dragon. So what I will ask you, what has been your favorite part or your favorite scene, and what are you hoping to see going forward?
All right, so when Damon was hitting it from the back, right, my favorite scene so
far. He cried on her shoulder? Yeah.
Talking about mood. my favorite part has got to be so far. I don't know, it might be everybody's favorite part, but it's definitely my favorite part. I audibly yelled, yes, bitch, at the screen when this last episode when Hightower had went out to go try to get the Damon to chill the fuck out and give the dragon egg back, and like they was gonna get to Reckon, and Rhaenyra pulled up with her dragon.
Yes, sir.
Came through, got the dragon egg back.
Stick talk.
Disrespecting her uncle, nigga.
She's big stick talk.
She's a stepper. Mm-hmm. She's a big stepper, and that was clearly my favorite part. She pulled up, defused the situation with some bars, and got the job done. That showed me she's capable of getting the job done, capable of ignoring dumb advice like her father gave her, and making good decisions. So I'm excited to see how that's going to bite her in the ass, and then how she overcomes that in the future.
Yes, sir. That was also my favorite scene, so I'll give an alternate. I really enjoyed the jousting scene because it really gave us a great synopsis of all the characters and their motivations in a very quick, you know what I'm saying, a very quick fashion. You know, you got, you know, Rhaenyra's ambitious, horny, you know, kind of trying to find her place in the Targaryen dynasty. You got her friend, fake ass, Alicent was her name. Yeah. Alicent, fake as fuck, kind of scheming behind the scenes, trying to scheme on her niggas and shit. You got, you know, Sir Christian Cole, horny nigga too, I assume, but you know, definitely got some honor and some valor to him. You got Damon, a talented individual, but also cocky as hell. Definitely got that Targaryen crazy gene. Motherfucking wildin'. And then you got the king being a fuckboy and sacrificing his wife for his heir who died the same day. Very graphic scene, the birthing scene.
It's a throne. When the maester, talking about thrones, it's going to be graphic.
Yeah, when the maester started talking about C-sections, I'm like, how y'all figure that shit out? It was like, yeah, we can do a C-section, but one gonna make it out that bitch.
At some point through human history, somebody's got a wild out and try it one time, and it spreads like that.
Yeah.
You also forgot my girl, Rhaenys, or Rainiers, the should have been heir, the yes. king's cousin who married the black guy out of spite.
The queen that never was.
Uh huh. So she just
and all... listen, Throne's gonna have some nicknames for that ass, bruh.
Bran the Broken.
Yep.
Bron the Blackwater. But yeah, she's all sad and petty, because she was supposed to be the heir but wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I don't know what her deal is, but she's I imagine she plays a big part coming up. But I think she has a dragon too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. I don't like her motivations right now. Mm-hmm. I saw people debating on Twitter about what was more upsetting between the birthing scene and the Red Wedding, and it's just like, all right, now in the if you're taking it out of the fictional narrative, you take it out of that vacuum, of course it's the birthing scene, because that is something that still to this day, childbirth is still, you know, incredibly dangerous for all women, but especially for black women. So very, very triggering, especially seeing a fucking medieval C-section. That's, that was tough to watch. Like, I actually had to turn away, and I'm not, like, one that's, you know, got any problem with, like, gore and shit, but that was real-life gore, you know what I'm saying? So that was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But in the narrative, of course it's the Red Wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like,
boy, I was laughing my ass off watching them.
I bet you was, you bitch ass nigga.
I said, ooh, look at you. You thought you had some shit going on trying to fuck on a foreign bitch. Now your ass is dead. That was
See, listen, you know it's fucked up when motherfuckers start begging, like the way Cat Ho ass was begging. Talking about on the old gods and the new, let him go. It's like, shit, it's over with, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We start talking about the old guys and the new. It's slow.
I ain't trying to hear that shit, nigga. Off with her head.
Damn you, Filch, son of a bitch.
Yeah, man, this man was fed up of cleaning up after all you wizard niggas.
Yep.
Yeah, but nah, this is it's a banger already. It's set up to be a banger. I'm looking forward to everything. I'm glad to kind of be in now from the jump. Like, I didn't really get to Thrones until right before the last season. I watched everything, so I was prepared for the last season. But to get in from the jump on this one is pretty dope, for real.
Absolutely, bro. So, yeah, we locked in big time for House of Dragon. That 9 p.m. HBO Sunday night time slot is back with a vengeance. I don't know, whatever that bullshit that was on before the Time Traveler's Wife. Where the fuck that? Get E-Greet the fuck out of here, bruh. We ain't having that shit. Mm-hmm. We come in Euphoria. We come in Thrones. We come in Succession. That's it. So Thrones, or House of Dragon, them Thrones, whatever you want to call it, giving us that typical HBO greatness, you know, as much as HBO can spare right now, because them niggas going through it. thoughts and prayers to, you know, Southside and all that other shit. Yeah, potentially be on the chopping block. I'd die.
Yeah, I'm at the riot. Yeah, I'm not for all that.
But that brings us into a Twitter debate that was going around about a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was very apt for kind of a TV centric pod. It's been things that we love around here. Music. Gun bars, various forms of milk, and music, and TV, I mean. So at the intersection of music and TV are theme songs. And I feel like, again, of the many lost things, of the many recipes that we done lost in this generation, we don't get that many bangers no more. You get one every once in a while, but it's few and far between. So, again, from an era, from a different era, a different time, we want to celebrate the greatest TV theme songs of all time. So, our top five of the week segment is going to be morphed into something a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to draft a team of 10 TV theme songs. Our favorite, our best of all time. And then afterwards, we're going to let y'all vote and decide who is the one true king. So
That's right. Yeah, this is exciting. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is our first ever draft. You know what I'm saying? We're going head to head.
Yeah.
Last time we had top fives, I remember I've been re-listening to old podcasts to boost the numbers. But I listened to our fictional animal top five, and that was a pretty good one.
That was a good one. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I imagine this one's going to be good as well, because it's a lot of great theme songs. There's a lot of great, even shows that are ass, but have a good theme song.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple on here. So out of Brotherhood and I Just Don't Need to Go First in Order to Beat You, I will give you the stage for the first overall pick.
First overall pick. Oh, boy, I'm so excited. let me see. So with first overall pick, I'm not necessarily going to go with the greatest theme song of all time, but I'm going with one I need to have on my roster.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Peaky Blinders theme song.
Woo! Man, listen, you know that was coming. It wasn't coming first, but it was coming, though.
When I think of theme songs, and I think of old Tommy Shelby, and I think of that red right hand nigga.
Oh man. My God. That's, oof.
And they freak it. It's not the same song.
Listen, I love how they freak that hoe, bro. Like, it gets to the point where they freak that bitch so crazy, you can't even, like, anticipate it. All you hear is, like, some chords and some notes brewing, and then it's with the red right hand. I was like, woo!
Sometimes it's upbeat, like the regular version. Sometimes it's low-key broken down. Sometimes it's acapella, nigga. But you know that red right hand is in the motherfucking building, nigga. So, yeah, that's my first pick, red right hand.
That is a fire-ass number one, bro. Yeah, I can't listen. Ain't no taking away from that one. That's a banger. But you know, out the gate, it would be remiss of me to not rep for the people. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, that's what we doing it for. You know what I'm saying? So with my first pick, the second overall pick, I am going to take A Different World.
That was on my list. That is a tremendous theme song. I'm surprised you said you're doing it for the people. I'm doing it for my fucking self. World is a great theme song.
Yeah, both versions, fast and slow version. Again, you talk about the soundtrack of a generation. You know what I'm saying? That's the one. I know my parents love me.
That's elite. That's elite. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you ran with A Different World. That's fire. Respect, respect. But I'm jumping to the motherfucking GOATs theme song of all time. I was saying earlier, like, it's a different time when you actually had to make a song to be a theme song to a TV show.
Mm.
You didn't have to play a little small melody or a little harmony.
You talking about real rap, nigga?
I'm talking about the real days, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Back when gas was soaring at $3 a gallon. Jimmy Carter was in office, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Real time. Bell bottoms were in. And during all this, we were able to experience the greatest theme song of all time. That's the Golden Girls theme song.
Oh, man. I ain't gonna hold you. That's a blow, nigga.
Thank you for being a friend.
Hey, listen, especially after old boy remixed that shit and brought it back for the masses. So we started from the bottom and we're here now. True. Ooh. Listen, man.
You can only elevate shit to the masses that's been at a high level. So you can only elevate the good shit even higher. So the Go Girls theme song is the elitist of elite. You can't have a conversation without it. And that's my second pick, nigga. What you gonna do?
Ooh, all right. So you want to match milk, nigga? That's what you want to do?
Hey, listen, man, I they call me they call me Safeway around these parts.
Listen, all right, man. So you know that definitely threw me off because that was my next pick queued up. But you know what? If you want to match milk, motherfucker, hey, I know the show itself is divisive, but what's not divisive is that goddamn theme song. So with my second round pick, fourth overall, I'm taking Friends.
Listen. I'm glad you chose that because that was nowhere near my list. That's a free fucking pick. You can have them, niggas.
Listen, man. Listen, that I'll be there for you, my nigga. That shit, that thing, that clap, nigga, that might as well be the Pharrell four count. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
my God. Oh, what are we doing here?
Listen, bro. Friends got it. All right. in that area, not much else. But
strong disagree. I'm thinking if you hear this song, like you in the club, and for some reason the DJ drops a theme song, friends not gonna go crazy.
That bitch going up at the right spot.
Listen, it'll go crazy at Sigma Chi on Saturday night. It'll do numbers and mugs in the Zephyr, but. I respect though. It deserves a place. Not on my list, but it deserves a place up here. I get it.
Yes, sir. You up, nigga?
All right. Do I want to milk you to death, pause, or do I want to go ahead and just?
Oh God! Oh yeah, boy!
That's nuts. That's nuts. Oh boy! What am I doing?
Hell no!
Listen to this theme song kind of goes with what I just did, right? I made a fool of myself.
Okay.
I wild out. And someone who wilds out and makes fools of himself all the time.
The Locks? Wild Out? Is your number three?
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Chic Looch. Greatest TV theme song of all time. No, someone else who wilds out and makes fools of himself all the time is Larry David.
Oh,
Larry David from Curb Enthusiasm.
It's so perfect.
I say that's really one of the better match theme songs we have.
Yeah, when you talk about ones that like just kind of perfectly encapsulate the feel of the show, and you can just insert it again at the beginning or the end of any episode, it hits every time, every situation. That shit ain't missed. That's a good one, bro.
It's a fact. Good match, man. I'm about to blow you out because I got a bunch of sleeper Jones that are legitimate heat.
Okay,
but go ahead. You up?
So I'm gonna get back into it with the first animated choice off this list. Listen, if all else fails, you drop down and bow to your Lord and Savior, Beyoncé Knowles, and or her sister, Solange. So we got the Proud Family.
You and me will always be tight.
Listen,
this is the first one I'm really upset that you got. Damn it.
Family every single day and night. Listen, you talk about shit that still, every time you hear it, you still got to sing it word for word. That shit had no business going as hard as it did.
Absolutely.
Disney had them one, and I know, and I was doing research for this, and I was seeing a bunch of lists, and Kim Possible was on a bunch of them, and I wasn't seeing enough Proud Family.
Let's not step on toes.
fuck your toes, nigga. Proud Family.
I respect it. Mm-hmm. I really got so many places I can go, man. I'm about to walk you down on this one. This is gonna be not even fair. Shit. Am I on my milk run? Let me continue my milk run.
Okay.
We doing Game of Thrones, nigga.
Ah, man.
Off tickety top, nigga.
That one hurts.
It's, yeah, man. It's a classic. A whole bunch of string instruments.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A whole bunch of violins and such. Violas. Perhaps an upright bass. It's fire, man. Gets you right in the mood to watch gore and incest and lies and betrayal and dragons and a whole bunch of nonsense, man. So Game of Thrones, you got to make the list.
It is. Hearing that theme song again on episode 2 of House of Dragon was special. It was special, bruh, because I really didn't think we was going to hear it ever again. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to come with something completely new. They know better. They know their target audience. You know what I'm saying? So,
I have a question.
Yes.
For these, I might have to remix. Like, I don't know if my first five are going to be my starting five.
Whatever. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. You know what I'm just saying? I need to take it to the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Have practice before I decide. But go ahead.
So, let's go. Again, let's keep it cultural. I guess I'll be the anti-milk in this case. I'm gonna go with the first old school joint. You can't go wrong with Good Times, bro.
Okay, yeah.
Good Times. There's like two
older ones that are there, and that's definitely one of them.
Anytime you need it, listen, especially
hanging in the jewelry,
especially when you sing that bitch word for word, not knowing the words your entire life. Yeah, bro. I mean, that's the one, bro, all the way down to the good time with the Dave Chappelle making the little fist and shit. that bitch is special, transcendent. Actually, I don't know. It probably don't extend down to like Gen Z, but
from they have no idea what
millennials all the way up, Good Times is that one. So
for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, like even come up. I didn't watch a whole lot of Good Times, but I knew that theme song for sure.
Yep.
I'm about to completely get out of left field. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I ran the milk play a lot. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have to get a little bit of color. Let me sprinkle this shit in.
Yep.
This is a song that was actually a legitimate real song that they kind of remixed for the theme song.
Don't you do it. Don't do it.
I don't think you know where I'm going.
All right.
It's a Nick show.
No! God damn it!
It starred ACL tear or Aseel Terre, Robert Rashard.
That's my next pick.
And his cousin.
I didn't think he was going to get it, bro.
The puppet.
Fuck.
Cousin Skeeter, nigga. You thought I came to play with you, nigga.
God
you
damn.
Know how you feel.
Man, bro, I thought you was going to sleep on it and I could get it later. You feel me?
My brother. I had Cousin Skeeter was my profile picture for quite some time back in college. Bro. When that shit went crazy. Cousin Skeeter is one of the greatest theme songs of all time. Because it's a legitimate banger. Steal up.
Shit. All right. I ain't going to hold you. I'm now officially thrown off. My shit's been thrown into disarray.
I got a whole bunch more for you, too.
Okay. All right. So, that's what we doing?
Mm-hmm. Just all right, like that.
So I'm going to have to match. Shout out to 702. So, you want to go Nick? You want to talk about mamas? I'm going to go with the OG of Nickelodeon. It's a couple OGs in Nickelodeon, but I'm going to go with the OG. All that.
That was my next pick, you son of a bitch.
Yep.
Oh, man.
TLC.
You know how much I like all that theme song. I used to play that before I would go out at parties with Ken.
I've been out in clubs where they play that bitch, and it go up every time. Every time, man. That's the one. You know, they didn't have a lot of good ones, but that's the one that set all that shit off, bro.
Absolutely. No, I definitely, that literally was one of my walkout songs. I swear to God. You are leaving a bunch of just picks on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a runaway.
Okay.
Because right now I got to go with this. You left it. I was going to leave it for you, pause, but you left the table. Now I'm going to come snatch it off the plate. Fresh Prince theme song. Come on.
I didn't want it. But before we got cut off, I was saying that, while it is undisputedly one of the greatest, it is one of the greatest that is not overhyped. It's just as good as people make it out to be. It's just overplayed. I mean, out of all the theme songs on this list, that's probably the
is
one that
not
we've heard.
The mark of a good theme song?
That's the one that we've heard the most.
Is that not the mark of a good theme song because they're not meant to be played that often?
It ain't Steelo.
Listen, nothing's Steelo. I don't know what point you're trying to prove here. Mm. But, nah, I gotta have it on the list. I guess that's my one for the people because now I'm about to go crazy.
Okay.
Fidola, go ahead.
I'm not mad at that one. So I can't take Friends without taking the show that inspired Friends. We are living a single. Ooh, in the 90s, listen, bro, in the 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girls. You feel me?
Keep your head up. Okay. All right, that's a good one.
Shout out to Regine Sinclair. You know what I'm saying? The entire gang. Overton Wakefield Jones. The influence and the appeal. Even when on the last season when they added the light-skinned villain from every 90s movie. The nigga from Soul Food / from the Temptations movie. The motherfucker that made Dennis Edwards sing about his dead father and shit. You know that's the day my daddy died. it's just, again, theme songs, you know, you can debate a little, you know what I'm saying, depending on your dairy intake. But in terms of the show itself, ain't no debate. So, got to get Living Single in there.
That deserves to be on the list. Mm-hmm. I got so many directions I could take this, man.
Go ahead.
Man, that's tough because. Yeah, let me go ahead. I don't think I have any anime. I got no animated one, so let me get my animated back real quick.
Okay.
You know the nigga who lives in the pineapple under the sea.
Ooh.
This shit is gonna rule our childhood and
yeah.
Still rule shit today. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The nigga SpongeBob.
Big banger.
With the pirate. That was Patchy, what was his name?
Yeah, Patchy the Pirate. Yep.
Patchy Pirate, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Patchy the Houlihan. But
both real niggas.
That's a fact. SpongeBob is one of the greatest cartoon theme songs. Mm-hmm. I have one that I might go later on. But yeah, nah, it deserves to be in this conversation, so I got to add it to my team.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful choice. Again, what wasn't even on my radar. I couldn't even think, you know, in that capacity. We gonna keep it going. On the you know, the Black culture wave. The Parkers, the original from the Parkers, no remixes.
I'm not gonna hold you. I do not remember the Parkers theme song.
Wow, that's disrespectful. To be completely honest. Big banger. When the Parkers. No, that's a no.
Nope. That's all no right, for man. Me, dog.
Okay. Well, we'll see when the votes come in. But yeah, that's a swing stater right there.
Yeah, I don't think count his phone is voting on this one, so I'll be all right. Let me see. I got somebody I want to include, but I only made a list of this is probably like 25. Mm-hmm. I actually did research today. Yeah, why not? I'll dig back in my bag. I got one old show. I'll take it back a little further too.
Okay. Another classic, man. Damn.
That's Sanford and Son.
Set that bitch off, bro.
No words. Just horns, nigga. That's the way I live my life. No words, just horns. Sanford and Son theme song goes crazy.
Damn. Another exceptional choice. All right. You went Sanford and Son, so I'm going to bring it back. I'd be remiss if, you know, I just leapt over, you know, all these great, great Nickelodeon theme songs. So, I'm going to come back now with Drake and Josh.
Woo! Oh, you got me scared for a moment.
And I never thought that it'd be so simple. I found a motherfucking way. Listen. Again, you talk about separating the art from the artist. I
was gonna say, if we doing it, you gonna play what's the Sean Watson theme song? Are we doing that route?
Drake and Josh was the one to me that is outside of all that. That's the Nick GOAT for me. In terms of live action shit.
Oh so, boy, I'm about to smash your head. Pause. Listen, I thought when you said Late Night Nick and you used the ampersand,
yes,
I thought you was gonna go. The route of Keenan and fucking Kel, nigga.
Yeah.
That's better than Drake and Josh, nigga. It's Coolio.
Yeah, you can have
your homeboys and homegirl. You know what time it is? It's time for Keenan and Kel.
It's time for Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, I gotta give Keenan and Kel. Don't touch this down. All right, yeah, go ahead. I'm upset, man. We have to make this 35 apiece. And just keep going. I'm surprised you haven't holler at your boy yet. He was all on this man's tip during when the show was running.
I know what the fuck you're talking about. I feel like you cannot make this list. I feel like that would be it'll be egregious of us to make this list and not have a Randy Newman production on this motherfucker. So it's only right. It's a rare condition in this day and age to read any good news on a newspaper page. Hold on. The loving condition of the grand design. Family matters.
It's even harder to find.
Listen, man. Listen. Family motherfucking matters. I will say Family Matters is probably the most overrated out of like the great black sitcoms. It's the theme song is not.
Yeah, no, the theme song was great. That probably deserved to be, honestly, in the first five.
Here, you come down the stairs.
Looking like trash. elite tweets.
Shout out to Family Matters. I think it's the last pick, though.
This is the last pick. And I got some places I want to go. We've left out so much.
Yep.
Fuck, this is tough. This is really tough, man.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wants to go. I'm just going to say a few that I'm not going with because I know you're not even thinking in this realm. Okay. You're not even on the same plane. You're not even levitating the same place as I am, man. I feel like Kyrie right now.
All right.
You wasn't thinking Adam's Family.
I was not.
You wasn't thinking Gilligan's Island, nigga.
Another banger.
That's So Raven. You ain't had it on the list.
I actually forgot about That's So Raven. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's insane. He can dig into the future. Shit, I like the... All right, so this TV show, one of the longest running TV shows there is. It's not a comedy. It's not a drama. It's not a. Those are the only two genres I know. Yeah. Categories I know. It is a TV trivial show.
Oh boy,
it's Jeopardy, nigga.
That is a crazy. That's a crazy finale, bro.
When Alex Trebek died, I said fuck school.
I got to give you that RIP to GOAT.
Yeah, man, niggas wasn't even thinking of you weren't thinking like Plinko or Pressure Luck theme song, but yeah, I had to go Jeopardy theme song, man. It's I left a lot of bangers on the board, but I would be remiss if I did not include Jeopardy, one of the greatest shows of all time, there, and then one of the greatest theme songs of all time too.
That's that's tough.
This is Jeopardy.
You came with a crazy 10. Now for moi. Again, there's a lot of things that I really wanted to choose that I'm not going to choose for this final one. Succession. It didn't.
World's
it
biggest Nicholas Britell fan is over
here. Yes, sir. Shout out to Succession, banger, but did not make the list. Jamie Foxx show, the second version, didn't make the list, unfortunately. Another Randy Newman production, Full House, wasn't too far away. That was right there too. Big Sleeper. Half and Half, that was a banger. Another UPN special right there. The one that I really wanted to put on, but I couldn't make it work. The Smart Guy, Motel Remix. Absolutely said? Not.
That's what you said, my bad.
The Smart Guy, Motel Remix. Definitely was very, very close to getting in. However, what I'm going to end it with is how can you not have the theme song of the greatest show of all time on a list of the greatest TV themes of all time? So when you walk in the garden, watch your back. And I beg your pardon, on a straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, my nigga, better save your soul. You got to keep the devil way down.
Way down in the hole.
Yes, sir. He got fire and fury at his command.
I don't know if that's the best HBO theme song.
I mean, it's not better than Thrones.
Well, other than Thrones, I don't know if it's better than Sopranos, to be honest.
I prefer.
Woke up this morning.
I love Sopranos, but I prefer got The
myself
Wire.
Got myself a glizzy, nigga? What?
All five versions.
I honestly might have to. That's smart. I completely forgot about Smart Guy. That would have definitely made my list. Yeah. I'm running through. Let me see what else I had on my list. I ain't hit you over the head with. I could have gave you that Seinfeld. Doom, 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 doom.
I was gonna come Cheers. Honestly,
yeah, not Cheers. Cheers on my list as well.
Yeah,
I'm worried about it. Was your name? I had Sopranos, Gilligan's Island. I had the Mad Men theme song, but that was it's not up to that level. It's like the tier below.
Yeah.
The Brady Bunch theme song was like that damn near
I actually forgot about that. Doom, 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 story? Doom, doom. Listen.
Oh, man named Brady. That shit goes crazy. Mm-hmm. What's that? I had the Always Sunny theme song.
Yep. Classic.
I had the Pokemon theme song.
That's another one.
And that was, and then I had Money Heist. You don't know Money Heist. That's a nice sad theme song. But that was my full list. We got I'm only really upset about Proud Family and Family Matters. Those are the two that you kind of stole that I'm upset I didn't have.
The last one that I didn't get in was Moesha as well. This was fun activity. You lost, sure. But it was a fun activity. You know what
listen,
I'm saying?
Bro. Listen, brother, you have friends on your list. I know our audience.
We'll let the people decide. You feel me? We'll throw it up on the Beware the Ills Twitter page, which again needs you to follow at Beware the Ills. We'll let you decide on who has the best 10 TV theme songs of all time. Shout out to y'all. Give y'all a little shout out. But it is time to wrap it up, B. Chappelle Show could have been a sleeper.
Let's start the show.
Wayne Brady Show.
That would have been the one. Yeah, Winbridge was better than Special Withdrawal.
He's like, the fuck? But we're going to go ahead and wrap it up with our L's of the week. Wes, who is losing out here in the world right now?
L's of the week. My L of the week is me, nigga. Mm. My Yankees are falling apart.
Yeah, bad. Big bad.
I was riding high the first half of the season, man. I was planning my vacation days. I said, I'm going to drive up for this 28th parade. New York City is like 2.5 for me. I'm going to get up there, you know what I'm saying, to the Bronx and be there with my people. But we fucking suck.
Yeah, not great.
Niggas getting hurt. We just ass, period. It's bad. We lost tonight 9-0.
Damn.
To the team behind us in the standings. The Rays are, I think, 5 games behind us now. It's very ugly. Mm. If you know me, you know that I'm a huge baseball fan, and I turn into a 60-year-old white man.
Yes.
You're also a black baseball fan. So nothing more than I like my team doing well. But also in concert with the Yankees doing well, my Hokies lost tonight at Old Dominion for the second time in 4 years.
Oh, Old Dominion. Oh, shit.
Yes. I would be super upset, but we just lost to them a couple years ago at the crib, or at their crib.
Damn, bro. This
year of our new coach. Brent Pry, he was a defensive coordinator at Penn State. Met a new quarterback. He transferred in. This nigga threw 4 picks. We allowed a touchdown on a we were kicking a field goal from, I think, like their 20. Snapped the holder's head, rolled damn near all the way to the other end zone where they scored. A very inauspicious start.
Inauspicious. Love that word.
That's a good word. So, yes, my teams are in hell. My Lakers are struggling to get that Ninja Turtle, Crippin' Ninja Turtle off the team.
Crippin' Ninja Turtle? No, not Leonardo.
We also traded for Pat Bev, who
was...
I'm at the roof for this nigga.
A Russ Pat Bev backcourt is insane.
It's tough out here, man, but at least we can... go on the bench to the Warren Toscano Henderson and Troy Brown. So it's not like we're devoid of hitters.
I like Troy Brown.
Well, my Commanders, yes, because all the sports are kind of starting up again. So my Commanders are, we got somebody, what did they call him? They called him a supermarket, great value, Brett Favre or some shit like that. For my quarterback, my rookie running back who I had great hopes in just got shot.
Really?
Being Brian Robinson. You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah, so being familiar with Brian Robinson, Alabama, drafted in the third round. He was played really good in preseason, was kind of projected to at least Jimmy split carries, or if not, take the number one running back role.
I thought you loved Gibson.
No,
that was your
I love Gibson. No, this ain't my decision. I'm not the coach. But so it was Sunday. Sunday, he, it was attempted carjacking here in down in D.C. He got shot in his ass and his knee.
Damn.
But nothing structurally got hit. So he was back in the facilities. It wasn't working out, but he was back in the facilities like a couple days ago. And we put him on one of the lists. So he's out for the first 4 weeks, but he could be back like ready to go week 5. But still, though, getting shot is not fun, I imagine. So all my teams are extremely down bad and there's no hope for me, to enjoy anything in the near future. I can't also mobile sports betting is still not allowed in Delaware. So if I want to bet, I have to go to the casino,
I was making big plays in Vegas and I lost all of them except for one that I got open. And I will win a substantial amount of money if the Browns win week 1. So,
oh boy.
Yes.
Betting on the brisket, man.
Yeah, listen.
But yeah. So I'm down bad. I got screwed in the fantasy football league. They gave me the 9th pick.
I don't know why you don't want the 9th pick.
It's ass.
It's better than 5.
It's not better than 5.
I'm picking 5.
Do you want to trade?
Yes.
We'll talk about it off air, but legitimately, because
I like picking at the either the beginning or the end of rounds.
Oh, you like the double up. Oh, no, yes. I like the consistency because after my first two picks.
Bubble, that's the double up. If you get in trouble, that just means you fucking up, personally.
You got to wait 10 picks after one of your picks twice.
Yeah.
Which is ass. We'll discuss this off air.
Okay.
So sports-wise, members of my group chat and members of the various leagues are trying to screw me. That's real nasty out here for me. And but I will survive. I know as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. Yeah. So yeah, L of the Week has to go to me this week.
Okay. The L of the Week for me this week goes to my wallet after Vegas. I do not want to talk about how much money I spent in a short 3-day trip, but it set your boy back. So I am accepting all type of applications, starting up all types of OnlyFans. Listen, Backpage, you want to bring that shit back? Your boy is here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the play don't care who makes it, as 2 Chainz would say.
Nigga trying to spread his cheeks is my concho.
Nah, none of that. But I'm not above whoring myself as I once did for meal swipes. Let's run it back. So hey, listen, I'm hurting. I had the time of my life, but listen, it costs money to dap up Anderson .Paak and be his right-hand man for the night, okay? Like, that's not... Listen, so shout out to my homie John getting married at motherfucking Torrey Pines next month. Talk about balling, nigga. We had a great time. Can't wait to come out there and kick it. But yes, my pockets are crying. No Sean Marino tears. So... well, hey, whatever I got to do to make it back, again, whatever amount of sex and or bodily fluids or vital organs that I have to sell in order to make this shit work, that's what the fuck I'm going to have to do. So
I imagine lungs are going crazy at this point in time.
Yeah, so, I'll say so.
About to flip on them things.
So, but again, we gonna make it back. We gonna get back. It all went to a good cause. Me having a good time. So, that's enough for me. But that's gonna wrap it up. That's gonna wrap up episode 61. I cannot name a single number 61 in any
Jack Lambert
area. That sounds about right. Episode Roger Maris, who was a wild boy.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, my mans.
Yeah, Roger Maris was. But you want to talk about Daryl Strawberry? Nigga, please.
Still Daryl Strawberry.
We gonna wrap it up. Again, thank y'all for tuning in. Again, always tuning in after our extended absences. But we always gonna come back. We always gonna give y'all again. The best quality product that we can give. We want to give y'all that New York pack, not that stepped on Prop Joe shit. All right. So,
for sure. We are Brother Muzon coming down. Yes, sir. And we mean business. You feel me when we show up.
We're going to wrap it up. I normally say something flagrant at the end of the episode, but I think I've said enough flagrant shit today. So I'm just going to leave it on this. Serena is the GOAT. We love you. I am the GOAT as well. So, shout out to both of us.
Shout out to Serena. Shout out to you. You are the GOAT, but not the picking theme songs. I'm bust your ass. We out.
See ya.